emergency?
Try to put his business out there.
No. And he just skipped all over that part.
He said, you lie, you getting fatter all the time. He called her fat.
He said,
you getting fatter all the time. And she's trying to say, like, no, I'm pregnant without saying she's pregnant out there.
Because Curtis, you been fucking me.
Right. And Cece, her brother, and everybody was like, Effie, we are family. So please be quiet and stay in your lane.
Oh, he really was. That's really what they were trying to tell her.
Like, stay in your lane. Stay in your fat ass lane.
Because what we got going on right now.
You're ruining it.
But she's like,
no, I haven't been feeling well. I've been pregnant with this kid. That's why I can't show up.
I'm not feeling well. I've got pain.
And they said, we all got pain. She said, wait, that's not what I'm trying to say. Oh man, wow.
When you really look at that,
it's so messed up.
You guys don't know what movie we're talking about by now.
We are dream girls, boys, we'll make you happy. Yeah, we are dream girls, boys,
we'll always care.
Dream girls
will never leave you.
All you have to do is dream, baby. We will be there. What? Here we go.
Dream
girls will make you through the night.
I don't know what those dreams. Dream girls will make your fantasies alive.
Dream girls, dream to you. And whatever Beyonce said, and how am I? Whatever she said.
Oh, y'all didn't know that's like one of our favorite movies.
Favorite.
Ever?
All times.
Ever.
Step into the bedside. Ooh, ooh, ooh. What?
Gonna take me ride.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. And then step, step. And then Jimmy Early. Oh, you got to step into the bedside.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Yep.
And then they go, step into the bed side.
What? And they have the red dresses on?
I know.
Stop it.
Oh my gosh.
Stop it.
I wish I could go back in time and like be in that movie. I just want to be like an extra.
I would be back there. Like, they would have to fire me. I would be watching.
Right.
They're like, you're supposed to fucking scrub the dishes.
Yes, do something, bitch.
Hold the mic, something. God damn.
Oh, that movie's pure classic.
Yeah, Dreamgirls, man.
Fucking love that movie.
I love that movie so much. Nothing and no one could ever get between me and that movie. Like, ever.
Hey guys, this is Cocktail Murder. I swear we're not a musical show.
We are not a musical show, but we are a true crime podcast where we drink and we talk about murder.
Yep.
Speaking of drinking, I'm going to go for another 1 month of no
are
drinking.
You?
Yeah.
In what, August?
Yeah, August 1st, which starts today. I'm going to do no liquor. I'm just going to do like seltzers and
stuff. Okay. So are you going to grab the Mai Tais we have in the fridge right now?
Are you going to drink a Mai Tai?
Yeah.
Maybe I can start August 2nd. I'll get you a Mai Tai. But yeah, so we drink and we talk about murder and we talk about Black victims specifically because our stories are undertold and underreported and that whole spiel.
Under-investigated.
Yeah. So
we've told so many stories where like the investigations were clearly like – they just did not give a fuck. And I think when it comes to like serial killers who have targeted women of color,
right?
like, they're able to get so many fucking women or, like, victims of color because the police just, like, don't care, or investigators just simply do not care to look into these cases.
Yeah. No, not at all. Although that's very important. I have another question for you. If the Mai Tais are bubbly and in a can, does that count as a seltzer?
Are they bubbly, though?
They're kind of bubbly.
Sure. Counts as a seltzer to me. First of all, it's in a can.
It's a seltzer. That's what I think. Yeah. All right, I'm going to drink it with you.
Okay.
Anyways, hi guys, we missed you.
We did miss you guys. I know we like say this almost every episode now, like,
you know how we do now.
Yeah. But like, seriously, after I came back from vacation, I died and I have not been back to life yet until today, basically. This morning was the first time I woke up. This is Taj, by the way. The other one is Honey. I woke up this morning, Monday morning, like, finally, like, okay, let me do something with my day. Like, let's start this week off strong. And so it's been okay. It's also been kind of sucky. We've been working from home for the past, what is it, 2-3 weeks?
Yeah, because we have a maniac on the loose in the office.
Yeah, we do. So we've been working solely at home. And like, you would think that like working from home is great, but if you don't have an office or like an office area, that shit fucking sucks, dude. And we're roommates, and like, seriously, like, everything is taken up. We have a 2-bedroom, 2-bathroom, and a living room, and we can't both work in the living room. We can't both work in the same place.
Yeah.
So when your office is 2 steps away from your bed, it's weird, dude.
It's weird, and it's just like, you need that change of scenery, and it's just been a little, not depressing isn't the word. It's just kind of like monotonous, and we're trying to fill the days with like being outside as much as possible and just like really trying to.
And you know what? Also, what I noticed today, and it's nothing against you, honey.
Okay.
Because you're working in the living room.
Yes.
What I noticed is like working from home is great when you get to enjoy like the luxury of working from home, which means like able to, like, if your office is inside of your room, or say you have a second bedroom and you turn that into an office, being able to like be on your lunch and like sit on the couch. Mm-hmm. But it's hard when like when there's 2 people working from home and the common spaces are taken up, you know, and it's like, fuck, like, okay, I'll just lay down in my bed because that's the only like comfortable spot.
Yeah. And then you don't want to be rude. Like, I know sometimes when you're busy, I'm like, I don't want to be loud. I don't want to really, I don't really want to watch a show. It's like, it gets
I don't know how many times I like walked out my room and was like, so honey, da 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 da. And you're like, I'm on the phone. And I'm like, hold on. That's hard. I know like it really is a luxury to be able to work from home, but seriously, like, when you just don't have the space, it's not that fun.
No, it's not.
And
it's
also really doesn't help when, like, our actual office is a great place to be.
Yeah, no,
I mean, we have everything there.
The amenities is, like, we really do take advantage of all of the amenities, and now that's, like, taken away right now because our office is closed, not due to a COVID outbreak, but simply because there's just been some security issues. We're kind of we're not in a true crime investigation right now, but we might be.
I hope not.
But seriously, so it's just kind of like, dang, like, we can't really go in the office, and
we don't even have the option. That's the thing, like, like to have the option of to going to the office. That makes me feel better.
And the time that I figured, I'm like, okay, I'll go in the office more than I'm working from home, I'm like, we've been getting these emails saying, dear God, do not come in the freaking office. Don't come now. Please don't come.
Not that, you know, lock, like, your doors. We're putting anyone on blast.
Yeah.
Or anything.
No, yeah, no, no, no.
We don't want our job to be like on Channel 10 News.
We don't
next week. And then they go searching for the leak and it's us. Suck.
Oh God. Change of subject. Like, so
they put us in a room and question us. Who have you spoke to?
Yeah.
The world?
I don't know. how many listeners do you have? Like, oh God. Oh God. We're not in danger, guys.
I'll just quit our job. Yeah. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we're not in danger. It's not that serious. It's serious, but not that serious. Like, it's.
Yeah, it's fine.
We're okay. Anyhow.
Anyways. Yeah. So here on Cocktail Murder, once again, we talk about murder. We also drink, which means we got to talk a little bit of shit.
Just a little.
So this is our belligerent corner. We just do a little bit of ranting belligerently.
We do.
First, let's take like a huge gulp of our drinks.
OMG. And then when you talk about your topic, can we play a little game afterwards?
Yeah.
Okay.
I actually don't really have like a topic in mind. Okay. There was something though that like came across my radar, and it's so old, but we haven't recorded in so long, so we haven't been able to talk about it. Yeah. I kind of wanted to talk about Young Miami at the BET Awards and her sign. Mm-hmm. For Diddy.
Yeah.
And it said like, go Poppy or something like that. And like a lot of people were like kind of calling her like dumb for doing that. But it's like, how do you feel about that? Because it's okay, first of all, the little interview, I didn't even watch the whole interview, but the little clip of when she was like, we go together. He was like, we go together. She was like, real bad. I thought that was so fucking cute.
I think it's cute. I mean, it just reminds me of like you're a schoolgirl who has a crush on like this older guy. Yeah. You know, and that's honestly, that's what the relationship is. I feel
like, seems like
I've been dumb before. You know what I mean? Now, I think it's stupid that at this grown age, she's like emulating or portraying the stupid girl. Because I think it's a publicity stunt. Obviously, it's not.
Well,
real.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like people are like saying, she's being dumb. She's being dumb. But I think she's doing this on purpose.
Yeah, she's writing it out. Yeah. You know what I mean? And like with that in mind.
Go ahead.
Oh yeah, and I'm saying, so with that in mind, that she is writing it out, like it doesn't bother me because it's like I know it's not real, but at the same time, I am just kind of like, you know, I wouldn't even do it for shits and giggles. Like, I'm like, I'm not a schoolgirl. I'm not, you know what I mean?
Okay, I guess we don't know their relationship or whatever. Yeah. We don't know if they're really together or if it's just like this young, fun, dumb like thing or whatever. But I think it's a fucking cute. Like, if he was my man, like, okay, my man is coming back home soon. And I'm for sure making a sign to hold up for him.
But he'll acknowledge you. And I think that's the thing everyone was saying is that Diddy didn't even acknowledge her. When he was up there.
That was such an accomplishment.
In fact, he acknowledged Cassie.
I mean, he also acknowledged Kim Porter. Everybody keeps saying Cassie.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, he acknowledged the people that played significant roles in his, not just his life, but his career.
Yeah, and Cassie has been there for a minute.
Very long time.
Yeah, that's true. So I guess, like, the argument is kind of like he didn't even acknowledge her. Now, if he acknowledged her a little bit,
like laughed, I see that sign, or just
something, some sort of acknowledgement, then it's like, okay, yeah, that was a cute little bit, you know what I mean, that they had. But the fact that he didn't acknowledge her just tells me, like, it is for shits and giggles, and it's like he's, like, you wrote it out, it's out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, move on to the next thing.
Yeah.
But I do like the idea of being a cute cheerleader for your man.
Yeah, I think I love that. So fucking cute. Like,
I love that.
Okay, I went to go see my man did a bench press competition when we were in Hawaii. And like, I felt so cute. I came in a little dress, even though it was like in the middle of like a gym. Yeah. And I'm like cheering him on, and I thought it was cute. And all the other people were like kind of looking at me like, oh, that's fucking cute. Like,
I think it's cute.
His girl is like really like being a cheerleader from him. And, you know, one, you know, like to support him, but also like, I think every guy wants like the cute girl.
Yeah.
You know, the cute cheerleader
to be on the sideline.
Like,
no, yeah. I'm in the dating world. Some of you guys know I've been sharing bits and pieces in my close friends on Instagram. If you know, you know. First of all, I fucking love it. Secondly,
dating world.
Yes. Secondly, though, I did go surfing recently, and it, like, there was a cute moment that, like, he was out there on the surfboard and he looked back and I waved, you know, and he waved back, but it was just like, you know, like obviously I'm looking all fine and stuff on the beach and like, you know, he's just out there and like other people are, you know, they're kind of around and I'm just like, hey, you know, like, yeah, like, yeah, like, we're, I go with him.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I go with him. Together, yeah. Yeah, we go together. Yeah. We go together. And it was just, it was cute. And he came back and he was like, that wave was cute. And I was like, yeah. So like, I like the idea of like being a cheerleader. Of,
yeah,
like,
I think that's cute.
The person that you like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're right. He does have to like acknowledge for you too.
Yeah, cheer for me like, and acknowledge me. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I know your man acknowledged you at the bench press.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, he
competition.
Did. Yeah. He came straight back to me when he was done. Yeah. So anyways, that I know this is like, that's an old topic, but something I wanted to bring up because it's like, I think there is a shift happening.
Ooh,
where
can I talk about it?
I think for a long time, women have had to be like really strong and like stuff like that. And okay. I'm like, how do I explain
articulate
this?
Okay.
Women are now craving like the soft life.
Yes.
And the soft life meaning like they just want to be in their most feminine selves. Yeah. They just want to be the cute cheerleader, like beautiful woman on the side. They don't want the hardships, the situationships, the arguments, the nothing like that. They just want to be happy. I mean, we just want to be happy. I crave that soft life too.
And
I
just want to be peace.
Yeah, we just want peace. And so I think that there is kind of a weird, and I only say it's weird because it's like one extreme to the other, where we are craving that soft life so much that we're starting to kind of become dumb a little bit over it, which is like I said, I thought what Young Miami did was cute or whatever, but like what did we say? We said she's like falling into that like young and dumb and proud,
naive.
Like naive girl. And so
that's a topic. Oh my god,
two different like extremes on that side.
I like where we're going with this because I did like, we talk about it all the time, right? So first, like, we see this, of course, on social media that now, obviously, social media plays a big role in pop culture. And we talk about relationships a lot. And a part of that discussion is if you, specifically for women, if we want to have this, like, soft girl only in my feminine – hold on. Taj has a whole fan sitting right next to her. It is hilarious.
It's fucking hot.
You guys have no idea. You have no idea how close the fan is to her right now. That's so funny. Anyway,
it's so hot.
But anyhow, like, so like the cost of like staying in this femininity and having this softness now, supposedly, according to some of these men, the cost is basically your dignity and being disrespected and
being
disloyalty.
Dumb.
And you have to an extent be naive. Personally, I don't think that's the case. But I mean, in the way that, like, you know what I mean? Like, social media and these discussions, like, really bleed into our everyday lives. It really does feel like, in order for me to just be a woman in a relationship and have a man provide, I have to put up with
certain things,
with major things, though.
Yeah.
And those major things, again, it compromises my dignity.
Yeah, yeah.
And
it could make you feel bad.
It could make you feel really bad. But then you think like, oh, well, he's taking care of me.
What do you think are some of those things that you have to like?
Mishaps such as cheating, right? and I hate
big one.
Even though, like, I don't know why that's like the topic of discussion, and to this day it's still a topic. Like, I can, to the point I don't even want to talk about it.
I hate bringing up cheating in these conversations because like that is kind of like the ultimate like no-no. Like,
yeah, but then there are other things though.
Yeah. And so for me, I think a lot of times if you are like craving like, I guess this soft life, or you're craving like the wife life. And a lot of women are now kind of going back to like this, I want to be a mother and I want to be a wife and I want to have a man that, like, you know, provides. And a lot of us are moving towards that because we tired, basically. We tired as hell. And
it's ghetto out here, real ghetto.
Right. And
expensive.
Right. That part. Right. That part. Like, shout out to the woman who was really doing it all on their own and really, really don't need a man. But
yeah,
you know
I mean, saying? I'm trying to do it.
I might need a partner. You know what I mean?
I don't need a partner. I need an investor.
That's what I need.
I need me an investor.
But that's the thing. That's the thing is, like, a lot of times when you do subject yourself to, like, the wife and mother lifestyle, that traditional lifestyle, maybe it's not cheating you have to put up with, but you have to put up with, like, decision making. Like, maybe you don't get to make all the decisions.
You give up your freedom to an extent.
You give up, like, a little bit of freedom.
You are a dependent of your spouse.
Yeah.
You know, so you don't.
Maybe you are a woman that wants to be a wife and a mother, but you do enjoy working. And you and your spouse sit down and decide if you guys have kids, you may not be able to, like, have a job because you want that traditional life. That's a decision that, like, you really no longer can make for yourself, you know? Shit. Or maybe you are a wife and you don't want to work at all, but your spouse is like, hey, I'm going to need you to, you know, contribute a little something.
Yeah.
Like that, you know, this, I don't know. It's just, it's so difficult. Like, but I guess that's relationships. Like, it's about compromise, and you do have to give up some things just to make the partnership work. Mm-hmm. But, like,
it is interesting
because it's hard, but a lot of times the woman has to give up a lot more than the man does. Like, you don't sit down with your man. Your man is the sole provider. He gets a job that pays double the amount in fucking Minnesota. You don't get to make that decision if you want to move to Minnesota or not. He makes that decision. Y'all can sit down and talk about it, but he gonna take double that pay fucking Minnesota.
And talking about it is really him convincing you that it's gonna be okay.
And it's him.
And to trust me.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
Allow me to take the lead as a man. We're moving to Minnesota.
Like, that's tough. Those are things that, like, I think for me right now, like, I'm thinking about those things. Yeah. I'm in a relationship that we could, that there's a possibility we'll take it there. Mm-hmm. But, like, he also doesn't want to live in San Diego. And I was born and raised here. Yeah. I love it here.
Yeah.
So I have to, like, make that decision of, like, do I follow him to where he goes, you know, or do we do this together, or am I going to fight it, you know, the whole way there? Yeah. Like, but either way, if he's the provider, we going where he going, you know what I mean? Yeah. So it's just, it's, those are like cheating is like,
that is the utmost,
you know,
for
but there are things that you do have to give up.
You have to compromise. I mean, just, just being in a relationship in general, not even like defaulting to, like, the traditional roles as, like, like what a man or a woman is supposed to do, but being in a relationship in itself truly does take work. I was having a conversation last night and was also reading a book called Forgiving What You Don't Forget. Mm-hmm. No, Forgiving What You Can't Forget. And there was a line in there that said, it said, you know, when you love someone, like, you're choosing that person. Mm-hmm. So you don't, basically the term falling in love, like, is non-existent. You're not falling for someone, you're just choosing someone over and over and over. Right. And that part struck a chord because, like, I had been having this conversation with someone about, like, what it means to be in a relationship. Mm-hmm. So that when you are in this roller coaster, when you are crossing bridges where like, where someone is going to have to compromise something, you're choosing a person over what you might want.
Yeah.
And that, like, that's where the work comes into play.
You know how much risk there is in that?
Dude, that's...
There is so much fucking risk in that.
You
choosing
know,
a person who can change their mind at any time.
Can we talk about this? So something that, like, kind of – something that's just in my mind. You know, you and I, we're believers. We believe in God.
Uh-huh.
We go to church every Sunday. We get the word in. We pray. We do all that. And we have our relationship with God and stuff. But when you're in a relationship, like, something that crossed my mind is, like, I'm having this hard time, like, saying to someone, or I've had this hard time, like, in the past, telling someone, like, basically being like, I'm in union or in unison with you. So it's like I'm choosing you. But then I can't, like, I can't find myself fully giving myself to someone if all of me is to God. Does that make sense? I'm trying to.
Yeah, no.
Like, really articulate, like, how I feel about that. Because it's, like, it's interesting because to me, I'm like, maybe I should be a nun then. Because there's no way I can just give myself to you.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like,
but I think there's, like, there are certain ways you give yourself to someone.
Like, and that's, and I think that's what I'm having a hard time with. Like, what are those ways? Because, like, to God, when I pray to God, I really feel it 100%. And I'm like, all of me is you. My body is yours. But then if my body is God's, if my flesh is God's, like, my soul, including my flesh, is God's, I'm giving my flesh to someone else, too. Like, when I have sex with them. And like, what I mean, not to be too much information or anything. When you have sex, I mean, the common saying is, like, whose pussy is this? And you'd be like, it's yours. It's yours. You know what I mean? That's the common
thing. What you gonna say? It's God.
Right. And then in the middle, like, it's not yours. Like, you're just gonna be quiet. Like, no, you're gonna be like, oh, it's yours. And it's like, but it's really not. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I don't know. So, like, I just been kind of having that conflict.
That is interesting.
Like, that just been, like, crossing my mind. Like, I've been having that conflict of, like, yeah, I'm saying this to this person, but I'm real, like, no, like, my body isn't yours, and my like, you're using, I mean, it's not, you know, like, you're using my body for your pleasure.
Your pleasure.
But my body, but when I'm saying, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, my flesh belongs to God, though. Like,
yeah.
I don't know, man.
Well, you know what that sounds like to me is conviction. And that's why they say you're not supposed to have sex before marriage. I mean,
holy shit. Okay.
I wish that I could, like, really, like, give you a good answer.
Well, let me take it up to God then.
I mean, I wish I could give you a good answer on this.
It's just,
but,
like, a thought that just, like,
but
you know?
I think what you are feeling is conviction. Yeah. I think you are feeling like, wow, I'm giving my body to this person, but my body is supposed to belong to God. And I think that too can be true.
I think so too. I'm just having a hard time believing it.
But that's why I think they say wait till marriage, because the whole thing is like,
I'm abstinent, guys. I'm abstinent.
The whole thing is like, when you are married, like, that is supposed to be your person for life.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that person is now deemed worthy of you. You know what I mean?
And although that may be true, it's still like, again, it's still like, I'm giving myself, like, even if I am having sex with someone who is a strong believer in God, like, I still feel like,
there's something wrong with that.
Yeah, I still feel like, I don't know, maybe I, you know?
I don't know how to answer that. I feel you. I definitely feel you. Yeah. And I understand what you're saying. I'll tell you, I don't think I've ever felt that way personally. And not to put that on you, but yeah, hey, look, we have three great pastors that we talk to every Sunday.
True.
Maybe that's something that we can bring up to them, and then we'll come back on the podcast
and talk,
see what they say. But but yeah, I mean, I understand how that could be a problem. But listen, like, straight up, like, if you are feeling conviction when having sex with someone, then maybe you should take a step back. I think that that's important.
Okay.
If you don't know exactly why you're feeling the way you're feeling, take a step back.
Yeah.
Take a step back, because you, your body, your soul, your spirit, like, is telling you.
Well, my body feels great, but my but my spirit is saying something.
It's not sitting well in your spirit.
My spirit is saying something
else. Like, that matters. Something is off.
Yeah.
Something is off. Oh, my God. Is he a witch or something?
Like, no. No, he's not. He's a good guy.
Fucking with you.
He's a good guy. It's just, like, one of those things, like, if I'm, you know, like, you know, again, I constantly pray. And, like, one of the main things that I say is, like, God, I give myself to you. But then, like, I'm kind of saying the same thing, you know what I mean,
to him,
to a human being. And it's just kind of like, dang, like, you know. And when I feel 100%, and it's like, I really don't want to say that to a human being if I'm like, You know what I mean? It's like, no, yeah. My spirit doesn't belong to you. My spirit belongs to God. Like,
well, you should never give yourself to man. Yeah, like, period. Humans. Yeah. You should not give that. But yeah, my advice is to take a step back.
Yeah.
Get in your word. Pray about it, because you can't pray about it and do it and ask for answers and you're still doing it. So, yeah. We'll reconvene on that one.
Yeah.
Okay, you guys, we just took like a slight break.
Yeah.
I just wanted to, and I just wanted to laugh at you. How serious did you get in our belligerent?
So, too serious. I'm like, hold up, retract.
It was so real though. You did get so real, and that's why obviously I love Cocktail Murder. I love
it's authentic.
Having these conversations with you. It's so authentic, but I have to laugh at you. Just like when you were in my car crying a couple of weeks ago. Not
talk
just
about
crying.
It. Talk about
you
it.
Were drunk.
I was
crying.
Drunk crying. And I acknowledged that I was drunk. Let's come on. Give the
you
full
did
picture.
It.
I was crying and I was it. Drunk crying, and I acknowledged how I was drunk crying right now, in that moment.
I had to laugh.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, oh, you're really crying right now.
You guys, that is the relationship between an Aries and a Sagittarius. The Sagittarius laughs at you, and the Aries is just flying off the handle.
And it, like, it sounds crazy, and you guys are going to think I'm a bad person,
but
no, she was
literally,
like,
the moment.
Drunk crying and was just like, I fucked up my whole life.
I'm 24, by the way, so I did not fuck up my whole life.
I'm a failure. I was like,
bills are paid, so I'm not a failure. And I have a job, so I'm not a failure. But yeah, no.
And we had
just
came from like the most fun party.
I know, and it just randomly, I'm just like, I just don't know what's wrong with me.
You'll be all right, I promise.
It was hilarious.
Okay.
And then like in the middle of it, I was like, I know I might be drunk crying right now. And that's when you laugh. Yeah. And you were like, yes, you are drunk crying right now. You're like, when you wake up in the morning, you're not going to feel at all what you feel. And to this day, I look back from a few weeks ago and I'm like, what the fuck? I'm so past that part of
what
my
were
life.
You thinking?
I know.
But we've all been there. I've drunk cried over the dumbest things in the world.
Yeah. But
even though that's not dumb, but you're also not a failure.
No, like, I'm not. Are you kidding me? I'm an amazing person.
Yes, you are.
Jesus Christ. I don't know. This is drunk crying. But yeah, like, yeah, of course I got serious. But, you know, again, like you said, that's the beauty of Cocktail Murder.
Yes.
We like to get authentic. We like They're to take authentic. Twists and turns. And
we did have a conversation
right after,
because we needed to dig a little bit deeper.
Yeah, of what that was. Yeah. And we dug. And yeah, and I got my clarity that I needed. And so now we're ready to talk about murder.
Oh, are you guys ready?
Are you ready?
First of all, we're talking about today the ugliest guy I think
the
I've
ugliest
ever seen
motherfucker.
In my whole life. I mean, seriously, this guy is ugly as hell.
His hair is beyond receding.
Let it go.
Let it go.
First of all, I'd
imagine
rather
him putting
see
it in a ponytail.
A bald man. He probably does. I'd rather see a bald man than a very, very badly receding hairline.
I would rather, yeah. If your hair is starting to retract a couple notches, to go back a couple notches, to decrease a couple notches, start going bald.
Have you seen the man weaves? How do you feel about it? Yes or no?
No.
5, 4.
No, I think it's deceiving. You know, a lot of guys like to come at women, right? Specifically black women.
So, yeah, of course.
You
always.
Know, because of
because,
like,
why?
Yeah,
because
why
else?
Black,
that's
right?
Why.
Right,
that's
exactly. Because we are who we are. So a lot of guys like to come towards us or at us of like being deceiving with the makeup and the hair, you know, the extensions and the weaves and whatever the fuck, or lace fronts, whatever. But to be quite honest, first of all, our face is the same, and like you still see our natural beauty, even like embedded in all of the makeup. You know what I mean? And so like when we take it off, it's like,
well,
you know, as I was talking, I'm like, how am I gonna?
Ideally, that sounds great.
You like how I said embedded.
Yes.
It's, like, it's the natural beauty embedded.
It is coated.
I tried so hard to help us out, guys. I really did. Listen.
I mean, hey.
I might agree a little bit with the guys. I might agree a little bit with the guys. Who should also keep that same energy about the hair weaves for the men. Like the hair wigs for the men.
Don't like defend your like fellow brethren.
Right.
But you come at black women.
Yeah. Like keep the same energy. You like it, yes or no. You know what I mean?
Right,
and
right.
To me it's a no. I'm not gonna lie. Cause I will be damned if I bring a man home and he takes his cap off. Cause it's hot.
He peels that shit back.
Cause it's hot. Or like we're kissing, I'm trying to play with the hair.
And it comes out.
Imagine. What would you do in that moment? What would you do?
I don't know.
And it gets stuck in your finger. But it comes off and it's like, oh, sorry.
And it's like glue on the top of his head.
Oh, stop, the residual dry glue on his forehead. Imagine that. Oh, that's hilarious.
Start taking these dudes swimming, y'all.
Start taking them swimming.
First date, take them swimming. Just like they said about us.
Right.
Take them swimming.
Do an activity where you sweat to see if that lace front gonna lift. Ooh,
and then what happens when it lifts? Do you leave the date or you finish it out?
Ooh, that's a good question. I would sneak a picture and stay.
Oh,
and
okay.
I would try to friend zone him. If he's not cool with being friends and he really wants to date me, then that's the end of us. But
okay.
Yeah.
Would you rather... would you rather a man with like a lace front or like a man who just like doesn't get haircuts?
A lace front?
I'm seeing one particular person in my head right
know
now.
Who?
You know who.
With no haircut?
I'm not gonna say his name.
Anyway, yeah, that's a hard question. I'll just say that. It's kind of a hard one. But not really the no haircut, they could wear a hat. But all the time.
But if you don't get a haircut, you definitely don't line up your facial hair.
And you don't look...
And that looks just as bad.
You don't look cleaned up.
Look, just go bald and grow your fucking facial hair. If you're bald facial hair, that's fine.
With thick facial
hair? You look amazing.
Yeah.
But, like, don't be bald with no facial hair.
Yeah.
You look like a turtle.
You look like a clitoris.
That's not cute, y'all.
You look like a clitoris.
A clitoris. Okay. Seriously, let's get into this.
A clit dinosaur.
Guy. Clit dinosaur?
A clit turtle? No, a clit tyrannosaurus.
Should we chug our drinks? Let's chug our Mai Tais. We didn't say what we were drinking. These are the Cutwater Tiki Rum Mai Tais.
Cutwater.
I don't know if these are sold everywhere or if they're only sold in California.
I think it's just mostly, probably California and definitely, I mean, Cutwater is a San Diego brand, right? Yeah, it is.
Yeah. And it's from Bali High, which is a San Diego restaurant.
Is it?
Who also makes their own rum.
Really?
Yeah.
So their rum is likely in this.
If you go to Bali High, you guys, $12, they have the best Mai Tai.
Oh, you just went.
Ever fucking tasted.
You were just there.
Their Mai Tai comes with a warning on it because there's no juice. It's literally all rum. But let's chug this real quick and then we'll get into this ugly ass motherfucker.
Yeah. Cheers. Shout out to Tasha. I'm looking at our photo right now.
That's my girl. I love her to death.
I don't know if she listens to this.
I don't think my friends listen to this. Thanks, guys,
for
the support.
They're there for our personal issues.
Yeah, basically. They're my therapist. The worst therapist in the world, but they're my therapist.
Yes, they are.
Okay. So, you guys, today we're talking about Robert Picton. Oh, my gosh. This is a crazy story. So, buckle the fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing how we are on time. Okay. Robert Picton, a.k.a. Willie, was born in 1949 and was raised on a pig farm with his family. First of all, ew.
A pig farm?
If you're going to be any farmer, a pig farmer, do you know how much that probably stinks?
Ugh. And it's like the religiously people don't eat pigs.
like religiously. Literally.
They yeah. don't eat pigs.
Yeah, because of how gross they are.
Close your eyes and think of a pig farmer. What do you think he looks like right now? What do you think he looks like?
Definitely is fat to me.
Ooh.
Kind of resembles pigs.
For whatever reason, wears a white t-shirt knowing it's going to be dirty.
Knowing it's... But it was dirty from like yesterday and the day before
too.
So
it's stained.
So it's stained?
Even after bleaching it.
Like he just doesn't wash his clothes.
So if you're going to
farm... But you know what? He probably has a wonderful wife. They be having wonderful, like, wives that submit to their every need.
They do have wonderful wives.
There is something about pig farmers.
But you know what?
Pig farming ass women fucking love.
I get it. Like, imagine this home that you can make your own with a beautiful land.
Probably has a ton of land.
Acres. Acres.
Yeah, but he smells like shit every day.
He does smell like shit every day.
See?
But that's the price you gotta pay. That's the price you gotta pay.
Certain things.
Certain shit you gotta compromise.
Probably treats are nice, but he smells like shit.
No, I'm not gonna. I imagine a pig farmer.
To be
like,
mean.
Yeah. Slapping probably her a little bit abusive. Yeah.
His only friends are the pigs.
His only friends.
Her only friends are the pigs.
And him.
That sucks.
Poor thing.
Poor pig farmer wives.
I know. And she just sits there dormant, just staring in the abyss.
Yeah.
Waiting for him to die.
Just waiting for him to die.
For only her to die of
And she can't
depression.
Have children.
And she can't. And he fucking like, he like.
Resents her for that.
Oh my God. And
no,
he reminds
it's not even her. It's not even her. It's him that can't have kids.
But they don't believe in doctors. So, oh, so
dude,
you know,
seriously,
so they don't even know
because if they don't,
and she
have,
thinks it's her,
they think it's her, but it's really him.
And they go to church every Sunday, and every day he's like, "Pastor and congregation, I need you guys to pray for us because we're still trying to have kids. Her eggs are bad." So
but
he embarrasses
really,
her, but
he
it's,
has a narrow urethra. That's fucked up.
No, really, he had a vasectomy when he was 28 years old.
When he was in the military.
When he was in the military because he was cheating on her the whole time.
Oh my gosh.
Whoa.
Wow. It just got deep, you guys.
Whoa. That's fucked up.
That's fucked up.
We should write a book from the perspective
What's
of her.
What's her name? What's her name?
Ida.
Ida.
And that's the name. That's the name of the book. We gotta write it. We gotta write it.
It'll be called Ida, Get Out. Or it'll say Ida, Leave.
Two books, right? We'll write two books. One from the perspective of her, and the other from the perspective of him.
No, of the pigs. All right, you guys.
Our rendition, of Charlotte's Web.
Charlotte's Web. All okay, right, but seriously,
Jesus Christ. Okay,
dude, if a book comes out about this, I'm gonna be so pissed.
I'm gonna be bad. I'm going through all 700 of y'all and be like, "What the fuck? Who did this?
Who did this?" Okay. Okay, where was I? just like we
the
were
beginning.
Saying.
He was a pig farmer.
He was a pig farmer. They were known as the smelly family. Willie wasn't smart. He not only raised pigs, but also lived like a pig. So,
okay,
guys,
so basically
gross.
What we just
yeah. So,
talked about.
So the story has already been written.
Yeah.
okay, so you know we don't like to share a lot of information about the murderers because the victim stories is what really matters. But there were a couple of things I needed to share. So this guy comes from a really fucked up family for sure. When he first got his license around 15 years old, he was driving down a country road and accidentally hit and killed a little boy.
That's a lie. Accidentally?
You don't think it was an accident?
How do you accidentally hit and kill a little boy?
I've heard of stories of like people accidentally hitting kids because let me tell you, this is why kids are the devil.
Kids are
they just
out of hand.
Be running yeah. into the street and I
they have no regard.
I've personally never hit a kid, but I have seen kids run into the streets with no regard for the cars.
Yeah, that's true.
And like And I'd imagine on a country road, look, I don't know, maybe it was on purpose, maybe it was on accident.
Yeah.
But what happens next is really fucked up. He drove home to tell his mom. His mom told him to go fix and clean the car. And in the meantime, she found the dead boy on the road and pushed him into a nearby river.
Stop it.
Once authorities found out, it was ruled an accident and none of the family members were charged. Imagine that.
Oh my God.
Imagine that. It reminds me of Norman Bates.
Ah, yep. The mom was a fucking devil.
Yeah, you know how like fucked up in the head, like, and a part of me kind of gets it, like, you're his mom, you want to protect him, you're his ride or die, like.
And then you don't have an, like, as a parent, you'd have to fight for your son.
You have to
and
fight
you
for your kid.
You don't even have the resources to fight for him.
Exactly. Yeah. So you're just going to help him in any way you can, which, like, again, on the side of the mother, sounds fucked up, but I get where she's coming from.
Yeah.
But at the same time, how fucked up is that for a 15-year-old boy to, like, go through that? And to me, it sounds like this ain't the first time his mama did that.
Nope.
She was too
for
good
her,
at it.
Dang, that's a good point.
Yeah. There's no way that
for
was
her
the
to
first
just
time.
Be like, okay, this is what we're going to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And for it to not, like, affect her, but it affected him really bad. I mean, this guy turned out to be an evil person, so.
A pig farm. Oh, we about to get deep.
Oh.
Hold on.
Oh, it's about okay. to get, we about to All get right. into it. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, eventually, Willie and his brother took over the pig farm after their parents died. He was known to raise and slaughter pigs in the day and hang out in the downtown east side of Vancouver, which is known for, which is known for prostitution and drugs during the nighttime. They eventually turned one side of the farm into an event space where they would hold huge parties and attracted sex, drugs, and none other than the Hell's Angels. You guys, like, the fact that wow. Hell's Angels yeah. are, like, they're still around, and there's, like, merch for them, and there's, like, so much shit.
They're a racist for group.
They are a racist white supremacist group.
Notorious for that.
They are so mean. Like,
the only quote-unquote cool thing about them is that they ride Harleys.
Yeah.
That's the
And
only...
Harleys are not that cool, guys.
No,
like, come
it's
on.
Not.
They're not that cool. I'd rather see, like, a really cool, like, fucking...
Well, you know I'm not a
Japanese bike.
Harleys are kind of cool.
They're cool.
I fuck Harleys.
I guess I'm more into like the small, fast bikes.
That makes sense. I like to cruise.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It makes sense. Yeah. It makes sense. But still, like Hell's Angels? Come
yeah.
on. How contradicting is that?
Hell's Angels?
Angels.
So you're demon.
So you're a fucking demon. Just say that.
Just say that.
Just call a thing a thing.
Hello. As Willie began to gain more notoriety in his little town for throwing parties, he became a monster.
Mm. In March 1997, a year before I was born, by the way, 98, March
Damn,
23rd.
You young as hell.
You old as hell. Willie picked up Wendy Eisteder. How do you pronounce her last name?
Eisteder, maybe?
Eisteder? Yeah. I'm just going to call her Wendy. Picked up Wendy E. after a late night of drinking. We don't know much about Wendy, which is fucked up. And again, we love to, you know, speak on cases in this podcast, you know, just highlighting the victims yeah. just because true crime doesn't necessarily highlight them. But anyhow, during sex, he tried to handcuff her, but she wasn't going for it. Since she wasn't complying, he took a knife and stabbed her in the abdomen.
Ouch.
Fuck. Damn. Wendy fought back and managed to find a knife and stab him back. Yay for Wendy.
Yeah, I just want to clap for Wendy because...
talk about fighting.
Yeah, it's that fight or flight. There's the third one now. It's like fight, flight, or freeze.
Mm.
And I think, like, a lot of people don't know what they're going to do in certain situations
yeah.
and freeze. And you can't. I know
yeah.
you don't know what you'll do until
yeah.
it comes up.
Fight.
If
you got,
it comes
yeah,
up.
But you got to fight.
Or run, bitch.
Yeah, yeah. Fight or run. Something. Do what you can
just
to get away.
Whatever you
yeah.
do not freeze.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There was a struggle that happened, however, in his small trailer park home, and she managed to get away. She was covered in blood, running up the road, when a couple driving picked her up and took her to the police. Ooh, what would you do if you drove down the road and you saw some lady covered in blood? Would you stop?
I've gone over this in my head.
Yeah.
I probably would not stop, but I would call the police.
So I think I'd do the same.
Or if I did stop, it wouldn't be like for her to get in my car.
Yeah.
I'd probably like stop and like kind of wait.
Yeah.
With her on the outside of my car.
Yeah. I'd like roll down the window, not all the way, but just enough to hear her. Like, yo, like, what's going on? What's going on? I like that idea, like kind of waiting. You know?
Because if there's someone after her and chasing after her, if they saw her speaking to someone in a car,
like, hold on to the back of the car. You can't come inside, but you can hold on to the outside. Hold on to the outside.
I'll drive slow. Hold on tight, Ida.
No, there was this movie on Netflix where these people, like these kids, they got kidnapped, whatever, and it was a pretty fucked up situation. The movie took a whole turn. Uh-huh. Like, it was really bad. Anyways, they ended up getting away, but, like, the people that stopped to help them were getting ready to, like, save them, and then the kidnappers came back on this road and killed the people that was helping them and then took the kids back to the house. I gotta figure out what the name of that movie was. If you know what I'm talking about, just a quick detail is like they live in this abandoned house and there's a bunch of little dolls there and the kidnappers dress them up as dolls. Yeah, it's a whole crazy. If you're screaming at the stream right now, email us, DM us, let me know what the name of the movie.
I forgot it.
Yeah, that took a turn.
That's crazy.
I forgot about that. Anyhow. Same deal. I would I'd call the police. I wouldn't stop.
Yeah, I don't know. Unfortunately, I probably wouldn't stop like next to them. I'd probably stop down the road.
Keep an eye on them a little bit.
Yeah, just try to like keep an eye maybe, but like
I'd be like, are they
chasing
you?
There's just something about letting this person in my car cuz it sounds like a setup. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's scary. That's scary.
It's scary for both people.
Which sucks because you'd think like if God forbid you were in that situation, you want somebody to stop. But I definitely will try to get help.
Yeah. But good thing is that these people were great Samaritans and they picked up Wendy covered in blood and they did take her to the police. Willie, after being treated for his stab wounds, was arrested. He was then released on a $2,000 bond. And months later, the charges were dismissed.
That is like, why? Yeah. Really, why?
Yeah. This only made Willie more of a monster. Now he knew he could get away with anything. Mm. But I think he knew that with his mom a long time ago.
Very true.
You know? Serena Abistway became a foster child after both of her parents died at a young age. She had a difficult time being controlled by her foster parents and was placed in a group home. That's when she was introduced to drugs and a lifestyle that landed her into sex work. At the age of 29, Serena disappeared. She was last seen at a party on Willie's pig farm. A missing persons report was filed, but the police thought she may have just run away with a John and will come back soon.
Ugh, we hear that many times? So much, dude.
How many times do we hear that?
So much.
Yeah.
Where they're just like, oh, she'll be back, or especially if she's a sex worker, like, she probably went to go make some money and come back. Like, no.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
No. Georgina Faith Pappin was a member of the Enoch Cree First Nation. She didn't necessarily grow up under the best circumstances. She was one of eight children in which all were placed in foster care. All eight in foster care.
That's really sad.
Like, why keep having kids at this point, you know?
The first time, okay, you know, you can't take care of them, but maybe you'll get your shit together. The second time, maybe a mistake.
the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, the seventh, and the eighth.
That's irresponsible.
But we see that a lot, and that's why it's
sad.
I see it a lot. It sucks, and it's unfair, like, kind of trigger warning, but like women that can't have children, and they're so ready to, like, build this wonderful home for their child that they can't have.
Yeah.
And then there are women who are popping out babies who really just should not.
Who don't choose, you know, you don't choose to be a fit mother.
Right.
That's the thing. It's like you're not ready to be a mom, obviously. Yeah. No one's ever ready to be a mom.
Yeah, no matter what.
But when you don't choose to be the best mom that you could be for your kids, that's.
You got to get it together.
That's really sad. That's a very selfish way of living.
It's pretty selfish. Yeah. Pretty selfish.
God, yeah.
Okay. Okay. So, Georgina, she was one of eight children. Oh, wait. I already said that. By the time Pappin turned 18, she had lived in dozens of homes and institutions and got into drugs. Mm. She had a daughter of her own that she unfortunately couldn't help raise, but she was able to keep in contact with her pretty often. However, things changed in 1999 when her family hadn't heard from her. A missing persons report was filed, but the police stated that she most likely hopped on a train to go somewhere else, or she will turn up sooner or later. This is another one of those situations where a missing persons report was submitted, or it was filed, and they were just like, oh, maybe she left. Like, came up with this whole story of, like, she most likely hopped on a train to go somewhere else. Like, where the fuck did that come from? There was, like, no evidence to even show that.
Right.
Okay, Willie had a friend named Lynn Ellingson, and she was also an addict and lived on the farm for several months. One night, after taking a hit, she fell asleep. A few hours later, I'm not exactly sure what she took a hit of, you guys.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
A few hours later, she was awoken by a loud noise coming from the slaughterhouse. She walked over to it and peeked inside. What she saw was horrifying.
Uh-oh.
She saw a woman hanging from a meat hook being skinned.
Wow.
I mean, nightmares, okay?
A meat hook?
This is from a horror movie. After seeing this sight, she fled the farm. She never went to the police. Girl.
Never?
Now, I would go to the police for that.
But then again, consider the source and consider that maybe she was there to get high, right?
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where it's like you have this conflict of like, sure, like I want to tell on this person, but also what was I doing there?
Yeah, but also I have all the drugs in my system.
Like at this moment, in this moment right
Which
now.
Which is like so.
And plus
that,
you're not,
that is
maybe,
really sad.
Maybe you're not really thinking straight either.
That's true.
You know, it's like.
We have told stories in the past too where people saw like a serial killer doing something. And they don't go to the police, but mostly because they were high. I think it was, what story did we tell? Maybe it was the Taco Bell Strangler. I can't remember. Mm. But they had saw something and then they were like, well, I was high. And then they were like, I thought maybe it was just like
I was tripping.
A dream. Yeah, yeah, maybe I was tripping or something.
And on top of that, like drugs are meant to numb you. So it's like one of those things where it's like you're shocked, but.
Yeah. But are you really seeing what you're seeing?
It's like,
are you feeling
no
what
way.
You're feeling?
Yeah, it's like, yeah. It's easy to push that out. Yeah.
Sex workers in downtown Eastside started going missing at a rapid rate. No one knew what was going on, but they did begin to fear for their lives. With all kinds of rumors going around, it made it hard for Willie to bring women back to his farm. So basically, like we said, there were so many rumors going around, and some of them were about Willie and his farm. And so women, again, they were scared to go back, but still nobody was like going to the authorities to say like there's something up with this guy, even though all of our friends, our sisters, our mothers, our nieces are going missing around here, and we're pretty sure it's him. So he had a female friend of his, her name was Diana Taylor, go to shelters and convince girls to go party with quote unquote Uncle Willie.
Uh-oh. Not the nickname.
Not Uncle Willie.
Not the nickname. Nicknames make you feel a little safe.
Nicknames? Yeah.
It's like, oh, we're just going to Uncle Willie's.
Well, it's just like, like Charlemagne. Uncle Charlemagne.
Yeah, Uncle Charla. Uncle
Charla. Like,
it's like, oh, he'll take care of you. Like, you're having fun, you're partying. But it's a, it's a, you know, contained environment when it's not.
That's scary.
Yeah.
That's scary.
On February 5th, 2002, the police department executed a search warrant for illegal firearms at the Picton property. As they were searching the home, they ended up finding a personal, they ended up finding personal items. One of the items being an inhaler belonging to one of the many missing women.
Wow.
On Friday, February 22nd, 2002, Picton was arrested and charged with two counts of first-degree murder in the deaths of Serena Abstway and Mona Wilson. Abstway. Oh, what?
You said her name before. You said it completely. A different way. Sorry.
Serena A. Serena A. And Mona Wilson. On April 2nd, 2002, three more charges were added for the murders of Jacqueline McDonald, Diane Rock, and Heather Bottomley. These last names. Sorry. I'm sorry. That's disrespectful. These are victims.
These are victims.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Bottomley.
What'd you say to
me? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I just don't understand these last names. It just, they're not familiar with me. To me. I know variations close to the last names, but these ones are a little too...
A little different.
Yeah, a little close to 1850s.
Bottomley. Heather Bottomley.
McDonald.
Yeah.
Abbott's Way?
I meant McDonald was the one you picked out.
Wait, but Abbott's Way sounds like a street name.
Abbott's Way.
Abbott's Way.
Abbott's Way.
That's a street name.
Yeah, I live on 54th and Abbott's Way.
Yeah, it's spelled A-B-O-T. Okay. Guys, please. A sixth charge for the murder of Andrea Josbury was laid on, oh my God, was laid on April 9, 2002, followed shortly by a seventh for Brenda Wolf.
Dude, like seriously.
Jeez Louise. On September 20th, 2002, four more charges were added.
I mean, this guy was like,
yeah,
he was going ham.
Yep. So four more charges were added for the slayings of Georgina Pappin, Patricia Johnson, Helen Hallmark, and Jennifer Firminger. Four more charges for the murders of Heather Chinnick, Tanya Holick, Sherry Irving, and Inga Hall were laid on October 3rd, 2002, bringing the total to 15, making the investigation the largest of any serial killer in Canadian history.
That is fucking wild.
On May 26, 2005, 12 more charges were laid.
Jesus.
Against him for the killings of Cara Ellis, Andrea Borhaven, Deborah Lynn Jones, Marnie Frey, Tiffany Drew, good God, the list goes on, Carrie Kalski, Sarah DeVries, oh my goodness, Cynthia Felix, Angela Jordine, Wendy Crawford, Diana Melnick, and a Jane Doe, unidentified, bringing the total number of first-degree murder charges to 27.
This is crazy. And this is like what we said in the beginning when it comes to like women of color, because a lot of these women were actually Native American women.
Yes.
And not only were they Native American women, which is already a reason for investigators to be like, eh, oh well, A lot of them were either addicts or were mm-hmm. sex workers, and so that gives them more of a reason mm-hmm. to be like, okay, whatever. Mm-hmm. It comes down to 27 women, and like we said earlier too, like it got to the point where they were scared to go to these parties because so many women were going missing after one of his parties, and like, so even the townspeople yeah. were like scared.
Like,
but the investigators
don't go down that way.
Yeah, but nothing was being done about it. Like nothing. 27. You just named off so many women right now. That is crazy.
Can I bring up? This kind of reminds me of how. Because you think about, like, a town like this, right? If you think, like, oh, yeah, don't go down that way.
And wait,
don't
let's mess be with- real. This isn't a town. This is Eastside Vancouver, okay?
Oh, shit.
Vancouver.
So the people around, right? So, which, gosh, it pleads my case even more with what I'm about to say. And I would like you to share this story, if you don't mind. Mm-hmm. But, like, you really don't know, like, if you're – you think that if a bunch of people is aware of a guy's actions mm-hmm. – that immediately that would raise red flags and tell, you know, the police or investigators, like, check him out. Like, he's been a weirdo for years. It reminds me of the story that you told me when you were in Hawaii.
Oh, my gosh. Wait, and when I was at the bar or the person across from my hotel room?
When you were at the bar yeah. and how people – you had mentioned the locals just kind of
– just brushing someone off that shouldn't have been brushed off. Yeah. I was recently in Hawaii on vacation. We go to like this really like local bar. I mean, this is like we were downtown Honolulu. So it was very local, but it was also like downtown Oahu, like yeah. Honolulu.
In
like,
a popular
yeah,
area.
It was the only place that was still serving food. So we went in and there was an older guy. He had to have been in his 50s. And he was at the bar sitting next to a young girl, had to have been barely legal. I mean, if she was like maybe she was 18 and yeah. he was just serving her drinks after drink after drink after drink. And you could visually see how fucked up she was getting. The bartender was serving her drinks, even though you can tell. To me, she did not look over 21. I'm not that good at gauging ages, but she did not look over the age of 21. But as we were sitting there and we were eating, me and my boyfriend, we were just like drinking and eating or whatever. The more and more people came in, everybody seemed to know each other. I mean, everybody was like, hey, what's up? This was clearly a very local spot. And this guy is at the bar getting this... what looked to me as an underage girl getting her so drunk, and he's like, okay, ready to go. And one of the other locals looks at him like, really again? Like, and then he's like, what, who, whatever. And he's like taking this girl who is stumbling, like cannot even walk, can't even see, walking her out of the bar and ready to take her home. And I'm just looking at this like, everybody knows this guy. Me and my boyfriend were the only people there that nobody knew because we are clearly tourists. They are very clearly locals, not just locals, but locals who frequent this bar a lot. Mm-hmm. And they were just like looking at him like, like really again? And like disregarding this fucked up girl mm-hmm. who can't even like stand. Mm-hmm. Like it was insane. Mm-hmm. It was insane. And, I'm looking at my boyfriend like, what do I do? Like, what do we do? Mm-hmm. This is clearly not an okay situation. Like, I don't care if they even knew each other or even if the girl was of age. Like, this guy is clearly getting her drunk on purpose. And honestly, you guys, she was very drunk, but it did also kind of look like, look, I don't want to put anything on anyone, but I think he drugged her. Just the way she was like acting was like, she was just not there like at all. Mm-hmm. And so it was like, that was a hard situation. I don't think I've ever seen that firsthand. And we did, like, we weren't following them, but we left at the same time as them just to, like, kind of see if everything was okay. They were actually walking in the same direction we were walking in, too, because our hotel was down there, too. And so it was just, like, difficult. I did end up calling the police, or not the police, but, like, security, like, around the area that they were in. Mm-hmm. But, like, I don't know what happened from there. But that was hard to watch.
Disturbing.
To see that not only, obviously, this guy is doing something completely wrong.
Yeah.
Like, come on. We know that this is not okay, regardless of her age, regardless of even if they've known each other for a long time.
Yeah.
You seem to be sober, and this girl is so fucked up she can't even stand up. There's a problem with that.
That's not okay. Yeah.
It's not okay. Yeah. I don't care if they knew each other.
Yeah.
If my man got me so drunk I couldn't stand up, that's still a problem.
I'd feel some type of way.
I would feel some type of way.
Because even when there's an agreement, like, oh, yeah, I'm getting fucked up tonight, and you're going to be the one that's of sound tonight.
Right.
You don't ever get that messed up, and your partner never
should let you.
Yeah. And I've been in a position like that where my partner at the time, like, would never, like, let me get that messed up.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's like, this is already a fucked up situation, but then to see the townspeople, the locals, all of the people that were there, which were all white, by the way, mm-hmm. And just, like, excuse his behavior. Mm-hmm. That's what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe it would be different if they didn't know this guy, but everybody clearly knew this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And they were even saying, like, really? Like, really again? Like, I was watching this.
Mm-hmm.
It was like watching a fucking movie. Mm-hmm. Like, I've never been in this situation. So they were saying stuff to him, but they weren't doing anything about it. And that is, like,
that's the
fucked up thing is. Mm-hmm. And that, going back to our story here, it's like, it was like that. It was like everybody knew what he was doing, but they weren't doing anything about it.
Yeah.
They weren't saying anything about it. And, like, if one person stepped up, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And even I feel bad that all we were able to do was, like, call security.
Yeah.
You know, like that, like, because I feel like I just wanted to grab this girl and be like, no, like, don't go with him.
Yeah.
When I look back, maybe I should have done that.
Sure,
but I'm also like, I don't know the situation.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, it's like, it's difficult to gauge that. But, like,
you also
that's
didn't
want to
put you and your boyfriend in danger either.
Yeah. Because,
you know,
once again, this guy was very, like, he didn't look like a good guy either.
Yeah,
you know what
but
I'm
he's
saying?
Popular, like, amongst the locals. It's just kind
they
of
all
like,
knew him. They all knew him.
Yeah.
And then there's just so much to the story. Because then, like, this girl, she's fucked up. And, like, the waitresses are, like, yelling at her, saying she has a bad attitude. And I'm just like, she's fucking drunk.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
How about yell at the guy who's basically fucking chaperoning her?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just like, it was an all bad situation. But yes. Yeah. You're very, it's.
Yeah. That's what it reminds me of. It's just like, because again, we talk about these stories where it's like, oh, people kind of have this idea of what a bad morally what a bad person is, even if you don't know they're fucking killing people,
right?
But it's just kind of like, oh, why don't they do anything? But I mean you firsthand witness what it's like to be in a local area and people just kind of brushing it off for what it is,
mm-hmm.
instead of doing something about it, you know. And that's how,
and it's hard because, look, as a person of color, I didn't want to call the police either because I do I'm not comfortable speaking with the police.
That's the dilemma.
So just like you said earlier, like, a lot of these people that were around Robert Picton in the parties, they were, one, people of color, and two, a lot of them were addicts and sex workers. So I'd imagine that they were not comfortable talking to the police.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't dabble in drugs, and
we're not bad people.
I'm not a sex worker, but
However,
do not feel comfortable talking.
We are black.
To the police. Yes.
At the end of the day, we're disregarded because of our skin color. So whether you're disregarded
I do not want to deal with.
Like, yeah, like regardless if you're disregarded because of your skin color or the industry that you're in or your leisure activity of what you do.
Yeah.
If the police is deemed as, like, the bad guys all your life, you're not going to go to them for protection.
And that's why I did not call the police. I called the local security guard.
It's so funny.
That was right there. Also, when I was in Hawaii, something's in that water. The people across from us, we could hear the girl clearly getting physically abused by her 7-foot-tall husband or boyfriend. I did not call the police then either. I called the hotel security because I personally am scared to deal with the police in whatever,
yeah.
like whatever the situation is.
I'm happy you called the security though. Like that's,
oh yeah.
At the very least.
Well,
you know,
I called the front desk and I told them
what's
to
going
call the
on.
Security.
Yeah.
But either way, it's like,
yeah,
that's the hard thing. Like we said, when it comes to investigations about people of color and like addicts and sex workers and things like that, it's just like such a tough situation because we all want to be like, well, somebody should have said something.
Yeah.
And not everyone
can. And we get that mindset, but sometimes we're conditioned to not.
Yeah.
And that's,
yeah.
Yeah. And it's not that we're the issue though either. I mean, the police department has so many issues to work out.
There are reasons why we feel the way we feel.
Exactly. Like we have to meet in the middle and that middle has not been met yet.
Right.
You know, that fine line has not been met.
And for someone who has like not even like a ticket on her record
right
now,
it's just
afraid to call the police.
That's like, come on, that speaks volumes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So January 22nd, again, I wanted you to, I thank you for sharing that. I wanted you to share that just so that like we could get like a real idea.
Yeah.
Even in
why
this case.
These things,
why
keeps they
happening.
Go so far sometimes.
Yeah. January 22nd, 2007 was the first day of the jury trial at which Picton faced first degree murder charges in the deaths of Marnie Frey, Serena Abbotsway, Georgina Pappen, Andrea Josberry, Brenda Wolf, and Mona Wilson.
That's crazy.
Not even half of 27. The media ban was finally lifted, and for the first time, Canadians heard the details of what was found during the long investigation. It's so crazy. In the United States, we thrive on negativity, honey. Let me tell you that.
Oh, girl. We be in the courtroom with them.
Girl. Johnny Depp and what's her name?
Girl.
Girl, in there. Live streams. I forgot her name. Oh my God, the blonde chick that took a shit. Y'all know. Okay.
Y'all know who we're talking about.
In his opening statement, Crown Counsel Darrell Previtt told the jury of evidence that was found on Picton's property, including skulls cut in half,
girl,
with hands and feet stuffed inside
of the skull.
The remains of another victim were stuffed in a garbage bag in the bottom of a trash can, and her blood-stained clothing was found in the trailer in which Picton lived.
Girl, I.
Part of one victim's jawbone and teeth were found in the ground beside the slaughterhouse, and a .22 caliber revolver with an attached dildo containing both.
Sorry.
How can
what?
I?
What?
That's not funny, but
it's not.
This is demented.
What the fuck?
This is demented.
Are you kidding me?
A .22 caliber revolver with an attached dildo containing.
At what part? Attached where? At what part?
I think the part where you shoot shit.
Where the bullet comes out?
And then, like, you hold the gun?
And then you shoot it in the dildo?
That's gotta be drugs. That's drugs.
Who thinks of that?
That's a fucking drugs.
Are
That's
you
so demented.
Kidding
That's
me?
Drugs. That's fucking drugs. Okay. Anyways, the dildo containing both his and his victim's DNA was in his laundry room.
Dude, I just can't.
In a videotaped recording played for the jury, Picton claimed to have attached the dildo to his weapon as a makeshift silencer. I'm sorry. That's crackhead mentality. I'm sorry.
So fuck getting a silencer.
Sorry, yeah.
How about we use this dildo?
I'm sorry. Like, I'm sorry.
That is crackhead behavior.
That's crackhead behavior. Who thinks of that but a crackhead?
Canadians had crack, huh?
They got something.
I guess
there.
So, because that right
there's
there.
There's something in the moose and the snows and the trees.
The maple syrup, the sap.
There's something in the sap out there. There's something in the sap. That's the title. Something in the sap.
That's crazy.
On December 9th, 2007, the jury returned a verdict that Picton is not guilty.
I'm sorry, what the fuck?
Not guilty on 6 counts of first-degree murder, but is guilty on 6 counts of second-degree murder of 27
victims.
Ooh, girl,
you scared me a little bit. But second-degree murder, yeah. What is the difference? Oh, go ahead.
Well, okay, let me finish this and I'll tell you the difference. A second-degree murder conviction carries a punishment of a life sentence with no possibility of parole for a period between 10 to 25 years to be set by the trial judge. Hmm. Perhaps they didn't want to give him death, but I think he deserves death. The difference
between... But do Canadians have the death penalty?
I have no idea. Hmm. The difference between first-degree and second degree, I'm assuming globally, is that first degree murder is obviously premeditated. You plan to go through, as opposed to second degree is not that it's manslaughter, but it's like you didn't plan days
it's
on
like
it.
Crime of passion.
Yeah, you didn't plan over 24 hours to kill and get rid of a body. And I think they're looking at it. I guess I'm thinking like maybe they're partying and then something
happens. But 27 times, bruh.
So it's 27 times something switched in his head where he's like, yeah.
Bruh.
Yeah, not to be too, actually.
Okay, so you guys, once again, I wanted to give the names of those victims. We have victims and alleged victims, but the alleged, come on, let's be real. We know who did it.
Pretty clear.
Okay, so count one was Serena Abbotsway. Born August 20th of 1971, she was 29 when she disappeared on August 2001. Mm-hmm. Count two was Mona Lee Wilson. Born January 13th, 1975. She was 26 years old when she was last seen on November 23rd, and she was reported missing on November 30th. Mm. Count six, Andrea Josbury. She was 22 when last seen in June of 2001. Count seven was Brenda Ann Wolf, 32 when last seen in February 1999 and was reported missing in April of 2000. Count 16 was Marnie Lee Frey, last seen August 1997. Count 11. Why are these counts off?
I think they're going in order.
Oh, I see. Yeah, it is of the counts. Got it. Okay. I'm like, why are these counts off? Okay. Count 11, Georgina Faith Pappen, last seen in 1999. Picton also stood accused of first-degree murder in the deaths of 20 other women until these charges were stayed on August 4th of 2010. So these are quite a few. Count three was Jacqueline Michelle McDonald. She was 23 years old. Count four was Diane Rosemary Rock. She was 34 when she was last seen in October of 2001. Count five, Heather Kathleen Bottomley. She was 25 years old. Count eight was Jennifer Lynn Firminger. I don't have an age on her. Count 9, Helen May Hallmark. Count 10, Patricia Rose Johnson. Count 12, Heather Chinnick. She was 30 years old. Count 13, Tanya Hollick, 23 years old. You guys, these are young women.
Yeah.
Count 14, Sherry Irving, 24 years old. That's your age. Mm-hmm. Count 15, Inga Monique Hall, 46 years old. Count 17, Tiffany Drew. Count 18, Sarah DeVries. Count 19, Cynthia Felix. Count 20, Angela Rebecca Jardine. Let's see. Count 21, Diana Melnick. Count 22 was a Jane Doe. That charge was lifted. Count 23, Deborah Lynn Jones. Count 24, Wendy Crawford. Count 25, Carrie Koski. Count 26, Andrea Faye Borhaven. Count 27 was Kara Louise Ellis, aka Nikki Trimble. She was 25 years old.
Wow.
As of March 2nd, 2006, the murder charge involving the unidentified victim has been lifted. Picton refused to enter a plea on the charge involving his victim, known in the proceedings as Jane Doe. So the court registered a not guilty plea on his behalf. Picton is implicated in the murders of the following women, but charges have not yet been laid. This is an incomplete list, but these are the people that we were able to find. Mary Ann Clark, aka Nancy Greek. She was 25. Yvonne Marie Bowen. You guys, this is so
this
many
is a lot.
Women. She was 34 years old. And Dawn Teresa Cray. I don't believe we have an age on her either. She is actually the main subject of a 2006 documentary film about murdered and missing Aboriginal women in Canada, and it is called Finding Dawn. I don't know where they're playing that. Let's see if that is on any streaming services.
And while you're looking that up, I do want to add a little extra further notes that we have on this case. One in which is they found dozens of syringes with the missing women's DNA on it. Mm-hmm. They also found a deep freezer with human remains and buckets filled with liquid and human remains. The reason why we put extra emphasis on this being a pig farm is, you've guessed it, he was known to have ground up the bodies, and he actually sold some of the meat mixed in with ground pork, but also fed them to the pigs.
I have no words.
It's this really sickening. It's sickening.
So we do talk a lot about serial killers, but this is one of the more disturbing ones. They're all very disturbing, but I mean, this, like, the things he did, you know, with the bodies. I mean, one of the women that stayed there walked into one of his little barn areas, and there was a woman on a meat hook, and he was skinning her. Like, I just, are you fucking kidding? Like, this is a horror film. Yeah. Like, that is crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. It's disturbing. It's really disturbing.
A note that I see here too is that we were saying before how a lot of people knew what was going on, but nobody said anything or nobody did anything. Now, Elaine Allen, sorry guys, that is just Charlie. He hears someone near our door. She ran a shelter for women that kind of ran the streets in that area, and she reported several disappearances, and the police never followed up on them.
Wow.
So that is where we say it's like it's fucked up when these cases go under investigated, and how these serial killers are getting away with so many victims in such a short period of time.
Right.
It's just like, it's crazy, but this is one of those reasons why. It can partly be because some people may not say anything at the time, but it can also be, a lot of times it's because people have said something and nobody is following up on anything, you know? So it's just, that's tough. That's tough.
Yeah, it is.
All right, you guys, and that is the story of Robert, aka Willie Picton, the fucking pig farmer.
Yeah, it's insane.
Like, it's insane.
Of course, we shared this story before. If you've been rocking with us since we've been on our lives, then you likely remember the story. And just the details on this case is insane. And what makes it even worse is the locals. You know, obviously he's a horrible human being, but others kind of having an idea of this guy who calls himself Uncle Willie, taking in these.
Uncle Willie is a crazy name.
It is. Taking in these, like, young adults, you know, not saying, of course, sure, they, like, willingly got high themselves, but it's like, an Uncle Willie taking advantage of these little girls, essentially. Well, I mean, or just he like had young an adults accomplice. Going in.
Her name was like Dinah, and she was going to shelters and like letting them know, like, if you come here, we can party and have a good time. Crazy. Like, it was like an operation. Like, this was a whole operation. Yeah. For him.
It's nuts. It's and crazy. Like, I mean, we can't help but think about like his childhood with his mom, how it was easy for her to just throw away a little boy's body and hide the evidence. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I can't help but think that perhaps this is something that he's just known all his life to just like disregard human life altogether.
This is okay. Yeah. And like, I know we said, like, you know, it's crazy. You kind of see his mom's side protecting her son, though. Her son. But how fucked up were other things in the home? You know, that's just a very small detail of what these pig farmers. He grew up on the pig farm. Like, who knows what was happening?
Who knows?
What were his parents like? We don't know.
We have no idea.
Very small thing recorded in his childhood. Yeah. Not to excuse anything he's ever done, but like, obviously, like,
he's fucked up in the head.
Yeah. You don't get fucked up like that for no reason.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
So crazy. Thank you guys for listening.
Seriously. Thank you guys for listening and tuning in. As usual, we really do appreciate you guys. And I know I've seen a couple of your guys' DMs. You guys sent some stories that you would like for us to cover, and I think we'll start doing our research on these newer stories and really start, you know, giving you guys what you want. So keep them coming. Again, the theme is Black victims and people of color victims. So if it fits that theme, then we're all for doing our research and presenting these cases to you all. So until then, though, we will go ahead and cheers it out to the next Melda. Clink, clink.
Bye.
Bye.